grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this Sunday, the first letter of St. Peter, the fifth chapter, the eighth and ninth verses. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. As I thought this past week about these words of St. Peter, there came to words some minds of mine, some words of my beloved teacher and father in God, Dr. Martin Frontzman, who was a professor of New Testament in our Synod St. Louis Seminary back in the day when I was quite happily a student there. Dr. Frontzman was a remarkable scholar, a remarkable teacher, a remarkable Christian. It's hard to put into words, but his sheer joy in the crucified and risen Savior was almost palpable. He was also a poet, and several of his hymns have found their way not only into our synod's hymnals, but also into the hymnals of other Christian churches. Dr. Frontzman had a way with words. And the words that came to mind as I was thinking about the words of today's epistle, which come from the first letter of St. Peter, are from a sermon Dr. Frontzman preached on some words which come from St. Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus. And the words are these. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Preaching on these words of St. Paul, Dr. Frontzman had this to say. The official title of this sermon is Vision for Combat. It could also be entitled Second Thoughts on the Way Home from the Devil's Funeral. For that is what is wrong with us in our generation. We have all been to the devil's funeral, and we have stayed for the coffee served by his grieving relatives. Yes, Dr. Frontzman had a way with words. The simple truth is this. Just as the truth that God, our Creator, is also our judge, has faded from people's consciousness, in just the same way, the reality of Satan and his minions has faded from people's consciousness, has even vanished. And when Satan is mentioned today, he tends to be a figure of fun, a comical figure, an outmoded superstition. And because of all that, it's hard to hear and take to heart St. Peter's admonition, be sober-minded, be watchful, Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. For Saint Peter, Satan wasn't a figure of fun, a comical figure, an outmoded superstition. For Saint Peter, Satan was a painful and powerful reality he knew all too well. By painful and indeed shameful experience. At the Last Supper, Jesus had said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." And although Peter then said that even if all the other disciples were to deny Jesus, he never would, yet that very night, with an oath, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. And so in that dark and doleful night, Satan had his way with Peter. But when Jesus turned and looked at Peter with compassion, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter repented of his sin with bitter tears. After the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead, he restored Peter to his work as an apostle. And just as poor Peter had three times denied his Lord, the risen Lord three times said to Peter, "Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." And in Peter's letter, from which the epistle for this day is taken, Peter is doing just that. He's feeding Christ's lambs, he's feeding Christ's sheep, and he's obeying the command Jesus had given him on the night when he was betrayed. Jesus had said to him, "When you are converted, strengthen your brethren." In writing this letter, St. Peter did just that. And St. Peter continues to do that also for us as we listen to his words. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. For St. Peter and for St. Paul and for all the apostles, Satan was no joke, but a reality they knew all too well. As St. Paul says, we are not ignorant of his devices, and Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And so it has been with all believers. That's why in the Catechism, Dr. Luther instructs us to pray, both when we get up in the morning and when we go to bed at night, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." I don't know about you, But as I think about my own life, what I've experienced, what I've been through, when I think about the life of the church as we know it, not only from its history, but also from sometimes painful experience, I really can't make sense of it all if I forget this terrible reality of Satan and his minions. And need I add that I in fact detect this evil hand, this evil power, this evil force, as I think not only about the history of the world, but also about the world's present circumstances. Satan loves to sow seeds of conflict and division whenever and wherever he possibly can. As Luther's co-worker, Philip Melanchthon, in his hymn for St. Michael and All Angels Day, says of Satan, "It always is his aim and pride, the Christian people to divide." And not only the Christian people, but all people, all the people of our nation, and all the people of the world. Like every reality revealed by God in his written word, the reality of Satan and his minions is and will always remain a mystery which the human mind can never fully understand, nor human words ever fully express. A wise teacher once said that Holy Scripture tells us not so much who Satan and his minions are as what they do. Fallen angels they are, bodiless powers they are, and powerful they are in their evil designs. But we most truly know them by the damage they have done and continue to do to God's good creation, and especially to all the human beings whom God in his love has called out of nothingness into being. And just as it is a great mystery why God permitted our first parents to sin, just so it is a great mystery why God permitted many angels to turn against him, and why, for the time being, God permits them to damage and try to destroy everything that's good. As we heard in the epistle read on Trinity Sunday, how unsearchable are God's judgments and his ways past finding out. But in our struggle with these demonic powers, we are not alone. We in fact have the certainty expressed in St. Peter's words, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. In his own teaching, the Lord Jesus himself admits that the demonic powers are mighty. But he also points to himself as the mightier one who has won and who will win the final victory. As St. Paul writes, the Lord Jesus must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. When evening fell on that first Good Friday, Satan's doom was sealed. For by dying, Christ had won the victory. It is finished, Jesus cries out. The power of death was broken. The power of sin to separate us eternally from our Maker was broken. And therefore, Satan's power successfully to accuse us was broken. And in his descent into hell, the triumphant Lord showed himself as the victor and then rose gloriously from death and the grave. For a time, for a little while, the work of Satan and his minions continues. But God always sets limits to their malice. And on that last and great day, when the risen Lord will come again in glory, any power remaining to them will be destroyed. Their ancient rebellion will come to an end. For then every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.